Researchers who have tracked brain injuries in professional football players have some sobering news for parents of young players. A study out today finds that children who start playing football at a young age face dramatically higher risks of future health problems in the brain. In the study, adults who started playing before age 12 were twice as likely to have problems with behavioral regulation or apathy and three times as likely to develop clinical depression. Dr. Robert Stern led the study, which was published in the journal Translational Psychiatry. He's the director of clinical research at Boston University's Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy Center. Dr. Stern, welcome to Here and Now. Dr. Stern, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks very much.
And first of all, tell us how you did this study. You obviously weren't looking directly at the brains of kids who play football.
No, this is a study of adults who were participating in a project called the Legend Study. And the average age was around 51 years old when they participated. And they had undergone a variety of cognitive tests on telephone and interviews, and they filled out these questionnaires about depression and behavior and apathy, things like that on the web. But we asked them a lot about their history of playing sports. And this group were ones who only played football as their main sport. And there were people who played up through high school, up through college, and then also some people who played through the pros. And we found out how many of them started playing tackle football before age 12 and compared that group to the ones who started at age 12 or older and looked at how they are doing now as adults on all those different types of tests.
And one of the things that you found is that people who started playing young were more likely to suffer from a range of neurological problems.
Well, in this case, they had a range of mood and behavior and problems in what we call executive dysfunction or problems with initiating and planning organization. So we weren't looking at the brain per se in this study. We've done that in the past with another study looking at this age of starting to play where we actually had brain scans. But in this case, it was just how are they functioning? What are their symptoms like as adults?
And the answer is?
And the answer is that these folks who started to play tackle football before age 12 had a threefold increased odds of having clinically meaningful depression symptoms and twofold clinically meaningful apathy and behavioral dysregulation, meaning not being able to control their behaviors and their impulses, as well as self-reported difficulties with this executive functioning.
And to be clear, this is not people who necessarily had concussions when they played football at age 12 or in their teens. This is just people who played.
Exactly. We're not looking at concussions. We're not as concerned about the symptomatic concussions when it comes to long-term consequences. What we're really concerned about, and what I think people really need to start being concerned about, is this exposure to what we refer to as subconcussive hits. These hits that don't necessarily result in a symptom right then, but people can get hundreds of them a year. Kids, youth, on average, have been found to have between 500 and 600 a year of these types of hits.
So does it make a difference in your study how long people played?
It didn't. And we statistically controlled for the number of years that everyone played. So it wasn't just that by starting younger, they had more years of play. So it wasn't the number of years. It also wasn't how high a level they played. So the same finding held true whether they played only up through high school, whether they played up through college or whether they played in the pros.
Do we know what's going on at the biological level? Why these seemingly ordinary hits that might take place when you're playing football but don't lead to a concussion would cause so many problems years and years later?
That's what we're trying to figure out. There's a couple things going on. Our group looks at this neurodegenerative disease, CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is kind of like Alzheimer's disease, but it's a unique disease. And it seems to start at that period of time when people are getting hit over and over again. And we're trying to understand exactly what the mechanism is. In this case, for this study, the concept is that we know from a lot of neuroanatomy research and development research that the brain is undergoing this incredible maturation and growth in the years between around 9 and 12 in boys. And so the feeling is that if it's going through all that growth and they're subject to getting hit after hit after hit, maybe that has some kind of long-term consequence, that there's this period of vulnerability in the brain's development.
Is that why 12 is the crucial year in your study?
Well, that's why we started to look at that year. It's based on previous research of ours also where we looked at just former NFL players, and we looked at really in-depth neuropsychological testing as well as brain scans, and found changes in the integrity of their brains between the ones who started before 12 or 12 or older. But we chose it because of the understanding of the peak periods of development, the previous research, but we also in our study now looked at age 11, looked at age 13, and 12 led to the most robust findings.
I think of football as something that people play in high school, play in college, play professionally. There are a lot of people who are pretty young in this country who play football.
Oh, they start really, really young. Pop Warner, USA Football. These kids start at age 5 and 6 putting on these big helmets with face masks that, you know, that make them be bobbleheads. They can barely hold themselves up, and yet then they're asked to do these drills where they're hitting their heads against each other time after time after time. There's a random over a million youth tackle football players in our country.
And I assume after this study, your advice to their parents would be don't let them play football.
No, not necessarily after this study. I don't think a single study really should determine policy change or dramatic recommendations. It's the growing evidence. But here's the thing. You know, we parents do all kinds of things to protect our kids. We do all kinds of crazy things to, you know, make sure that they're healthy, that they don't have injuries, that they reach their full potential. And then we drop them off at a field and put these helmets on and say, hit your head over and over again 500, 600 times per season. At a time when their brains are growing and developing, that most precious organ in our body. So my recommendation is think about that. You know, we can't take our kids away from athletics and exercise and sports. That's critical. They need to have that kind of exposure to great things and physical and emotional benefits. But we need to remove their exposure to hits to the head over and over again.
In the past, your studies on these kinds of issues have had a real impact on the national conversation about the risks associated with football. Do you think this one will as well?
I never know. I really never know. Again, the science is really in its early stages. We don't have definitive understanding of a lot of these things. The brain is so unbelievably complex, and we've just started looking at these long-term consequences of repetitive hits to it. I have no idea if this is going to change the conversation, move it forward. There's going to be less or more people playing. The study itself should not have that dramatic an impact. The conversation needs to be one of logic. Should we be exposing kids to repetitive brain trauma while their brains are developing?
Is it possible that these people that you looked at, who are, let's say, an average of 51 years old, have these problems for other reasons?
Yeah. So, you know, there's all kinds of potential variables that could have clouded the findings. So we try to statistically control for all those things. Can't control for everything. So we look at their age, their education, their number of years they played, things like that. We looked at learning disabilities because sometimes people have criticized work like this saying, well, maybe it was kids with already vulnerable brains. So we statistically controlled for learning disabilities. The same findings came out. There are so many potential possible reasons that what we're seeing may not be true. We tried to deal with that as much as we can, and the findings were pretty striking.
That's Dr. Robert Stern, who is the director of clinical research for Boston University's Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy, or CTE, Center. We'll link you to more about this study at hereandnow.org. Dr. Stern, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.